I'm going to try and just talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit, and I want to give this a title: Intimacy with the Person of the Holy Spirit. Intimacy with the Person of the Holy Spirit. And I played that song tonight because it was, in fact, about the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you liked it or not, but I liked the song. Intimacy with the Person of the Holy Spirit. We don't often think of the Holy Spirit as being a person. We tend to talk about God, and rightly so. We talk about Jesus Christ, and rightly so. But the Holy Spirit, often we think of the Holy Spirit as a force, or some kind of power that's just there and maybe comes and maybe goes or something. But I'm hoping that as we look at some scriptures tonight that are familiar to us, that we will have a better appreciation of who the Holy Spirit is, not being a force, not just being a power, but being a part of this Trinity that we understand as we read the scripture. In light of the way things are going on in the world today, we could easily see why some people will lose heart and why some people will want to give up, whether they call themselves Christian or not. The economy seems to be just in total shambles. There seems to be corruption in government. I believe there is corruption in the government. Whether it's the right side, the left side, it just seems to be corruption. People want to do away with the righteousness of God, whether it's in school, whether it's in the home, whether it's in any social institution. People want to do it. They do not mention the name of Jesus Christ. You may mention everything else, but don't mention the name of Jesus Christ. His righteousness, it just bothers people, and there seems to be a famine in the land. Well, there actually is a famine in the land. We've got wars that are taking place in different parts of the world, and so there's just this feeling of anxiety when you look around, people without jobs and so forth, and so you can see easily why people will want to give up or give down or lose heart. What about you and I? You and I, who call ourselves Christian and no doubt have been affected by some of the things that I've just mentioned, whether we have lost jobs or whatever, having issues in the home or whatever with different things on the job. What about us? Do we want to give up, and are we about to give down? Jesus spent about 3 years with his disciples. He was performing miracles in front of them. He was teaching, sometimes plainly, sometimes he would teach in parables, and then he'd have to explain it to them, teaching them about the things of God, showing them the difference between right and wrong, showing them and exemplifying before them as a model, a perfect model of God's will, what it meant to love, what it meant to be a sacrifice, what it meant to help those in need for a holy God and who was to have eternal life. Jesus did this. Jesus spent time rebuking them when necessary. One time it's like, well, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? God through his son, he had to get that straight. Another time he'd say, oh, ye of, well, not just another time, but on several occasions when they might not have understood something, he would tell them, oh, ye of little faith. But during the course of these years, 3 years, I don't know if it was exactly 3 years, I believe it was a little better than that, Jesus was taking time to know them, understand their hearts, understand their concerns, their fears, their struggles, and he was working with them. Jesus was trying to help, if you will, grow them up so that they could begin to see the Father, that they could begin and even do better than begin, but know, fully know, what the desire of God in heaven was for this earth, what it was for the Jew, where it was that the Israelites, their forefathers, had failed in the mission of what God wanted for his people. Jesus spent time encouraging them. I spent 3 years, because in that 3 years, we'll read about it, but we will sometimes forget that there was a relationship there whereby he corrected, he taught, he instructed, he exemplified, he encouraged, he cried before them. He was there with them. There was one time when they were talking about fasting and so forth, and Jesus said, you don't need to fast right now because the bridegroom is in your presence. In other words, Emmanuel, God with us, is in your presence. When you fast, it's because you wanted me to come. You need some kind of strength or something. I'm here to protect you. I'm here to give you all that you need. You need not fast right now. How are you going to fast when the king is in your presence? What is it that you need that I can't give you, that I can't tell you, that I can't show you, that I can't perform in your midst? There was another time when the guards would come to get Jesus and going to crucify him, and Jesus told them, you leave these alone right here. It's me you're looking for. You come and get me. Leave these alone. You say, well, is this going to fit? Well, I hope so. I said the topic tonight was intimacy with the person of the Holy Spirit. But I'm talking about Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ was in their presence first, if you will. He walked physically with them. And so we want to look at this, and I said we're talking about a passage of Scripture that is familiar with us, but I am hoping that somehow I can convey the need for us to appreciate the Holy Spirit and to know him tonight and henceforth, now and forever, for the rest of our lives. Jesus, in that time that he was spending with his disciples, he had a genuine and true and tried relationship with them. And so I want to go to the Gospel of John, and we're going to look at a portion of a few verses, and we'll be kind of in the 14th chapter, 15th chapter, a little bit of the 16th chapter, and a few other verses from passages of Scripture. So I ask that you bear with me, if you will, and pray for me, because I'm hoping that I can say something that will touch our hearts tonight by the will of God. Jesus, in that time when he spent with them, he at one point, well, maybe more than one point, but in the Scriptures we see, he referred to them as friend. So I want to pick up in John, the 15th chapter. We're going to look at the 14th and the 15th verse, and we're going to try to make a connection with what kind of relationship did Jesus have with his disciples, and what was he going to say about the Holy Spirit. Time comes down, and there's you and I. What I want to know, you don't have to answer, of course, what do we feel about the Holy Spirit, and do we appreciate what God has done by leaving him? Are giving him to us? Lord, have mercy. I want you to read for me John, the 15th chapter, and the 14th verse.
Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you.
Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. This is talking to his disciples. That verse before that, he had said, greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friend. I don't want to focus on that, but of course Jesus was talking about the life that he was going to give up for them. Then you are my friends if you do, Jesus said, whatsoever I command you. Now, I just believe that probably the first time we read this, maybe the second or even third time that we read this, we're like, what kind of statement is this? You say that I'm your friend if I do what you say? That sounds almost absurd to us, but we want to keep in mind who is saying this. This is the Son of God talking to his disciples. They were his masters. They were his disciples, learning from him, sitting at his feet, following from him, being rebuked and encouraged by him. This is Jesus Christ, God the Son, the one who holds all things together by the word of his power. In other words, his powerful word is what spoke creation into being. So he has a right to make this command. He has a right to demand this of his disciples. You're my friends if you do what I tell you to do. Now, there's a problem for us sometimes, and if there's a problem, we need to ask God to help us, because the same thing is going to hold true for us. But he's talking to them because he was going to go away and leave them, and there was a mission, a responsibility that they had. He says, you're my friends if you do what I command you. What's the next verse say?
Henceforth I call ye not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you.
Jesus says, from now on, I'm not calling you servants anymore. Yes, you are to serve. You are to render your skills, your mind, your life for the duty for which I'm placing on you, because I'm going to leave. And greater things you're supposed to do because I got to leave. Henceforth, I don't call you servants, but I call you friends. He's talking about the intimacy of the type of relationship that they had. He had demands on their life, and he fed them. He just gave all kind of wisdom to them. And he says, I'm letting you know what's going on. Your heart is to be connected to my heart. Your will is to be connected to my will. I'm your master. I'm your teacher. I'm the Son of God, and I've been providing you with so much that you ought to begin to see this. I've got something for you to do, Lord. Have mercy. It's Jesus talking to those who were to follow him. And I say it seems unfair, but I'm telling you, this is God the Son who's saying this. Now he says, if you want to demonstrate your love for me, you can't live any kind of way that you want to. If you really want to demonstrate your love for me, you must obey me. There will be times when you will not want to obey me, but I have placed a charge out there. If you're my friends, if you have heard me, you will obey what I'm saying. I say it's got to be demonstrated. You see, when we think about love, because we have a warped vision over here, and most, I think, all of the world has a warped vision of what love is, God is the one who has shown us through his word what love is. Love, we must begin to understand, if we don't know it is a decision. Because if we just go by emotions, we will find that we will not do most of what we're supposed to do, because we are stubborn people or we are a lazy people. But it's a decision to follow righteousness. It's a decision that we must obey the Son of God. He says, if you love me, keep my commandment. It's not whether you want to or not, you do it. That's how you manifest that you're my friend. Lord, have mercy. Well, what if you say, what if I don't obey? You say, how is this going to connect? I hope to make a connection. We're talking about intimacy right now with Christ. True intimacy, if we're his friend, if we really are part of the relationship. You see, sometimes people have a relationship, but it's not really a relationship. It just looks like it might be a relationship. There must be communication, and God, through his Son, was communicating to them what they were supposed to do. But what if you say, what if I don't obey? I'm still a part of this relationship, because that's how it seems that the world lives, those who say that they're the children of God. I'm just going to do anything I want to. So we're going to move back a little bit. We just came from a portion of the chapter, but I want to go back and look at the first, second, and the sixth verse of this particular chapter. Jesus was talking to his disciples still, talking about this relationship with them. He was going to go away. Jesus said that I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. He's giving them a metaphor, if you will. He's like, I am the source from which all sustenance must come. I'm the true vine, because Israel failed. They were supposed to be a vine, but since they didn't obey my Father, I'm coming, and I'm doing everything that my Father says. This may be a message that we're so used to, but let's understand, are we intimate with God? Are we intimate with this? Are we intimate with the Holy Spirit? Jesus says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, guess what he does? He taketh it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. He purges it. So why is he doing this? That it may bring forth more fruit. But I want to go back to my question. What if I don't obey you, Jesus? I want to be your friend, but what if I don't obey you? Right now I say I'm your friend. Listen to what this verse says, the first part. Every branch in me, so we see that there's a connection. We see that there's life right here. If it's in him, then it must have some life at some point. But it said, if you don't bear fruit, he taketh it away, then you are not a part of me. You are not a part of me. We spoke this past Sunday, was looking in Corinthians, and we said, how do you know that you're a child of God? It's because you obey his Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my word. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you can't live a life of intimacy with me, if you can't live a life where we have a true relationship, if you can't live a life whereby you obey my Holy Father's will and you keep these commandments, you have no part of me. I don't care what you do. If your heart is not inclined to listen to me, to follow me, to love me, to put me first, you shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. Jesus said, if you love your father, if you love your mother, if you love your brother more than me, then you're not worthy of the kingdom of God. So we can talk about commandments, but what are some of the commandments? Jesus says many things. We need to search the scriptures. Jesus says you got to obey me. So if you don't do this, if you have the question, what if I don't? Am I your friend? No. That's the answer. Sixth verse here. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you can't live this lifestyle, you see, this is something that is to be consistent. So you may have a problem here or there, but get it right. Repent. Get it right. Make sure your heart is in the will of God. We must have ears that will want to hear the Holy Spirit. We ought to desire to have intimacy with God. We ought to desire to have intimacy with his word so that we can be clean, so that we can have the promise of eternal life, so that his joy will remain inside of us. So many things want to choke this relationship up. So many things are competing for your and my attention. But God, in his infinite wisdom, he left his word. He sent his son. His son went away, and he's leaving his Holy Spirit so that we can have intimacy still with him, and so that we can remember what it is that he wants us to do and be empowered to do it, to live for him, to appreciate him, to have real joy in a world where the economy is bad, where there are wars, where there are people that want to snuff out the will of God and his righteousness in the land. My intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And well, you haven't got there yet. What if you don't want to obey? You ask God for the right heart, because this is what's required. It's not about what you and I just think. It's not about what you and I just think. He has been more than gracious. He has been more than kind to have his son come and die on the cross for us. Lord, have mercy. So Jesus was talking to his disciples. This is a part of a discourse that he had been talking with them. We, again, have it divided up as chapters. Jesus had told them, I'm going back again. You can follow the whatever he said, whether it was before or after, it was still true. Jesus was letting them know that I'm going to go away. There's certain things I need for you to know. He started out in the 14th chapter, don't let your heart be troubled. I'm going away. Don't be afraid. I started talking about it would be easy for us to see why men's heart might grow fearful or might grow weak. And then I said, well, what about us? Yes, we might find that it's a different type of situation, but because we have a heart and a mind and a soul, this truth is good, just as good for us. Jesus, the same yesterday and forever, this word applies to us. Well, maybe we're not disciples walking on the face of the earth like he was. Maybe we don't know Peter or Paul like they did, but we ought to know Peter and Paul. We ought to know them because of the scriptures. Let's get back to what we're talking about. Jesus didn't want them to feel the situation in life. He didn't want them to fear anyone. But he was going to go away, and so he knew that they were going to be fearful of the climate. You see, the Romans, they had the dominion over the Jews, and there were the Jews over the synagogue, and they were wanting to kill Jesus, and the disciples were worried. We know this. But sometimes, and I have said this a lot lately, familiarity is just, it doesn't help us all the time if our heart's not right. Let's become familiar in that it helps us, but not familiar in that, okay, I don't have to think about this. Not familiar in that maybe I shouldn't look a little deeper. That's not the kind of familiar that we should have. Because I just wondered as I was thinking about this, how do we really appreciate what God has done? through the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was going away, and he wanted his disciples to have strength. And he begins to tell them some things. As he says, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He says, many dwelling places in my Father's house. We know this. This is the 14th chapter, the beginning of it. So we're going to look at what he says in this discourse. We're going to look at the 15th verse of the same chapter. 15th verse of the same chapter. He's going to tell them, as he's letting them know, I don't want you to be afraid, but listen up, you all, the disciples. Though I'm gone, though you might be fearful of the climate in this world, though the task may seem great, and it is, there's something for you. I'm not just going to leave you like this. I'm asking the Father for something for you. What does it say? I want you to read the 15th, 16th, and then the 17th verse. Okay? Would you read that, please?
If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you.
Thank you. I had said 15 and 15, but she read the right verses. I wanted 14 and 15. Thank you. Jesus said, if you love me, and I wanted that to be read again because he repeats that several times. If you love me, keep my commandments. And then in the 16th verse, he's like, I'm asking that my Father in heaven, he will give you another comforter. He's going to give you the Holy Spirit. And I think the word is paraclete. He's going to be an advocate for my Father, but for your sakes, that he may abide with you forever. There's going to be a relationship. Now, this, I may not be able to make the connection like I want to. I may not be able to convey the words like I want to. But this is where I think when we look at ourselves, we may not understand who the Holy Spirit is. We think he comes, we think he goes, per se, in the sense of just how we will, how we will for him to be there. The Holy Spirit told me this, the Holy Spirit told me that. But is there a true relationship? Are we keeping the word of God? Are we even grateful for what this Holy Spirit has done for us? Jesus says, when I go away, I have prayed to the Father that you will not be left alone. This Holy Spirit is going to act in my stead because what you have gotten accustomed to is the fact that I have been in your presence. You have gotten accustomed to the fact that I've been in your presence performing miracles. I've been in your presence feeding people. I've been in your presence rebuking people. I've been in your presence teaching you different things, but I'm gone, and so your hearts have gotten fearful. But I'm asking Father God, I'm asking sweet daddy, I'm asking him to help you out. I have prayed that he will send another. See, Jesus was a comforter and a counselor to them. Jesus knew, Father God in heaven knew, that they would need something to be inside of them. Lord, have mercy. So I'm praying that this comforter who will work in my stead, who will not boast of himself, he's going to speak of me just like I speak of my daddy. I say the things that I'm saying. My daddy's telling me to say this. My daddy does the works that I do. These miracles that you see, Philip, when you see me, you see the Father. Well, when I leave, the Holy Spirit is going to remind you of the truth because it's the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth that I speak from God the Father. You need him, Lord. Have mercy. He's going to be with you forever. He's going to abide with you. But will you have a relationship with him? Will you obey him? Will you let him talk to you? Will you pour your heart out before him? Will you let him be as I was when I walked the face of the earth with you? And I keep saying him. Will you listen to him? Listen to what this says. Even the Spirit of truth. See, he's got no folly. He brings no folly. He brings no falsity. He brings no false Christ. He speaks the words that I say. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive if they don't want to get it right with God. If they reject me, they cannot receive this. But if something in their heart lets them know, hey, this world is fallen. I am fallen, and I need a Savior to keep me. I need a Savior to bless me. I need true eternal life. Lord, have mercy. Then the Spirit of truth
can be received, but it's not going to be received by the world because the world is led by Satan. Why? Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, you disciples, you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. This Holy Spirit, when I'm gone, he's going to come. He will be inside of you. You will be without an excuse. So I'm going away. You will be without an excuse. I ask seeking truth. Do we know him? Do we know this Holy Spirit? Does he comfort our hearts? Do we listen to him? Do we ignore the prompting of the Holy Spirit when Satan would put something and dangle it in front of our eyes, dangle it in front of our mind, cradle it just before us so that we will want to walk outside of the will of God or be tempted? Do we listen? Because, you see, Satan does not care about you and I, but the Father, in his magnificent love, long before you and I came into this world, he said, I'm going to leave my Holy Spirit for you. Though Jesus may not walk the face of those, this Holy Spirit of truth ought to be in you so that it be just like Jesus is still walking the face of the earth because the Holy Spirit is in you. Jesus said that my Father and I, we will come and we will make our abode with you. Spirit of truth of God, the Spirit of truth of the Son, and the Spirit of truth of the Holy Ghost deep down inside of you so you can walk in his word, walk in his will. Do we know the Holy Spirit, or do we reject his promptings? Do we reject the Spirit of truth when he talks to us? Jesus said he will remind us of what the truth is. He will lead us and guide us in all truth. And they don't work one against the other. The essence is pure. The essence is sweet. The essence is righteousness. The essence is power. The essence is you need to obey me if you're going to be my friend. We know that. You see, Jesus was talking to some people that he had a relationship with them, with whom he had a relationship. I believe he laughed with them. We know he cried with them. He wanted to teach them how to pray. He would teach them about things. They would look out in nature. They walked for miles and miles and miles. Jesus was teaching them, look, though she may be a Samaritan woman, watch how I treat her with kindness. This is how the world is going to know that you're my disciples indeed. If you have love one for another, no, don't ask God to send down fire on this man right here. He speaks the words that he's speaking of me. He's teaching them about life. The Holy Spirit now wants to teach you and I about life. And there are times when he will come in and prompt us, and we will ignore the Holy Spirit. Do we think that God is pleased when we don't listen to his Holy Spirit? Because he knew that this world was going to be just like it is, and that it's going to get worse and worse, and you and I need something to encourage us. It's through the word. It's through the Holy Spirit. You and I will be one that want to give up. We will want to give down, but he does not want to leave us comfortless. He will encourage us. He will chastise us, and he will prune us. He will prune us so that we can bring forth more fruit and live like he wants us to live. Yes, yes, yes. Are we intimate with the person of the Holy Spirit? You see, I'm saying he works in the stead of Christ. The role that God has given him for you and I is a gift to you and I. I'm learning to think about him as loving me. I'm learning more to think about him as wanting my good for the sake of the Father. I'm learning not to think, because even though I know he's not a force, there's some religions, I believe the Jehovah's Witness, who will tell you he's a force. No, he has the mind. He has the mind of righteousness, and he wants us to fulfill it. Lord have mercy. That the righteousness of the law is in Christ Jesus might be fulfilled in us. Let's continue on with this thing. Let's go to the 24th verse of this same chapter, 24th, and then I want to skip to the 26th verse.
He that loveth me not, keepeth not my saying.
He keeps saying, keeping or not keeping his saying. Can we find that this is important? But the modern Christian day church does not want to talk about keeping his will. No, they just have a rhetoric. I love him, I love him, I love him. But what about the heart? God wants us to have changed hearts. If we don't let him inside of our hearts, then we are just fooling ourselves. We're fooling ourselves. He's about changing us. Lord, have mercy. Jesus was talking about obeying him again. What did he say?
He that loveth me not, keepeth not my saying. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you.
His responsibility, one of his functions, is to teach you, to teach us, and to remind us. We must be in the Scriptures because he's going to remind us what said the Scripture. Someone who's not in the Scripture and they continue talking about what the Holy Ghost is telling them, I just find that that is just hard to believe. I find that they may know a little something, but the less you're in God's Word, it wanes and wanes and wanes, then you have nothing. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And we are to cherish this wonderful word of God because it gives sustenance to the weary soul, that the spirit inside of us can be connected to the spirit of God, the spirit of righteousness, the spirit of truth, not the spirit of the world. Have you and I realized that yet? This Holy Ghost, this Holy Spirit, he is there for God, but for our behalf, so that we can grow and we can be strong. Lord, have mercy. What will this Holy Spirit do? Let's go to the 16th chapter. I want you to read the 7th through the 9th verse, please. This Holy Spirit has a job. This Holy Spirit is there. He is trying to help you and I grow, to mature, and to remain faithful. Let's not ignore him. What does it say?
Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you.
Jesus said, if I don't go away like my Father has ordained for me to, then he's not going to come. But I have to follow the will of God. We should be found being obedient. Lord, have mercy, like Jesus is. Tough sometimes, but we need to learn to obey. Why is it that sometimes we can disdain certain types of sins? We might find them repugnant and repulsive, but there are other ones that we don't mind. For instance, I have never thought, well, there's certain things, like, for instance, I don't want to have intimacy with a man. I don't want to have sexual intimacy with a man. It's something that is repulsive to me. I don't want to do it. Why is it that there might be something else that might take my mind and, you know, God is the one that said it's a sin. We need to get to the point where there is no division, but it's just obeying God. That will help you and I grow. Do we understand that? I say it will help you and I grow. Jesus said, I got to go away. Because God's got his order by which he wants things to be done. The Holy Spirit is going to come. Continue to read, please.
And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment.
Yes.
Of sin, because they believe not on me.
Don't let the world know what's right and what's wrong in the eyes of God the Father. He's going to rebuke this world of sin, going to let them know what is wrong. The Holy Spirit, that doesn't just do that. We read this and say the world, so that doesn't include us. If that's what we think, then we need to go back and read this. Jesus says we're not of the world, but let's say we got these fleshly bodies, and the propensity of the flesh is to live outside of the will of God. But when we're born again, born from the Holy Spirit above, then we walk in this newness of life. Lord, have mercy. And we need that Holy Spirit inside of us to remind us, to teach us, don't go over there. That's too hot. Don't touch it. Keep your feet in the straight and the narrow. Don't go to the right. Don't go to the left. Wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction. Narrow is the way that leadeth to righteousness, and few there be that find it. Be one of the few if you love me. Keep my commandments. I call you friend. Will I be able to call you friend in a year from now? Will I be able to call you friend 2 years from now? Because the Holy Spirit won't force himself on you. We have to let him in. We just sang this song a long time ago. Let him in today. Let him in. We have to let him in. But it's by the acknowledging of the heart that God is right and that we need him. feel like we don't need him, he'll cast us away. He will cast us away. When the Holy Spirit is come, he will reprove this world of sin. Of sin because they believe not on me. Now, if we believe the wonderful words of Christ, we'll obey him. And we might believe just mentally, but if we don't trust him and do, I say if we don't do what he tells us to do, then it's like disbelief. It's like disbelief. The Holy Spirit is given by God so that you and I will continue to be faithful, that through moments of distress, through moments of weakness, he can remind us and give us the strength. He's going to be a counselor. He's going to be similar to what Jesus was for the disciples when he was walking with them, their provision, their need. Lord, have mercy. Now, I want to just kind of look at a few verses in Ephesians. I'm going to go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. This is dealing with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So I'll go to the fourth chapter, and I'm going to ask Dree to read from the 24th verse to the 27th verse. There's a whole list here of things that Paul was writing to this particular group of people. He was like, you ought not be living like this. So we just was talking about how the Holy Spirit will convince and rebuke the world of sin. So this is just a few. So if you're interested in reading that, you may already know, you may read the whole thing. I just wanted to read the 4th chapter, 24th to the 27th verse, and then we're going to skip down to the 30th verse. Okay? Still talking about the Holy Spirit, whom we should know, whom we should be thankful to God for giving to us.
And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil.
Now, in this particular book, and I didn't make the greatest transition, but what I did do, I think, it was connect the fact that in John we're looking at rebuke and sin. Here we have an apostle of Jesus Christ saying what sins are, sins that are not acceptable before God, no sins acceptable, and he begins to name a few. He was talking to a congregation that were like, let's say, new converts, if you will, if they weren't Jews and so, but they were been accepted into the faith. He says, put away certain things. This Holy Spirit that God has left for us to help us, he's like, will help us not do this. So he's telling them, put away lying, put away evil speaking and so forth. But this 27th verse, it says, neither give place to the devil. We can't give place to the devil. When Jesus was walking the face of the earth, he was trying to reprove the world of sin. The Holy Spirit's trying to reprove the world of sin. This 30th verse that I said we were going to skip to, listen at it. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. This Holy Spirit, we say he's a person. Even if you go look in 1 Corinthians, I think it's the 12th chapter, it talks about how the Holy Spirit will give gifts severally to those whom he will, how he wants to. He gives gifts. He can't be grieved. He speaks. He teaches. He wants to dwell and live inside of us. But if we have an evil heart and a corrupt mind, he will not inhabit these bodies. He wants us to put away certain things, and he comes to remind us. He comes in times of stress and woe and terrible things like this so that we can remember who we are in Jesus Christ so that we can still have joy. Jesus telling his disciples, don't be afraid, and I'm getting ready to go. He's talking about getting crucified, and he's telling them not to be afraid, and he's so wonderful. He says, I'm praying to the Father that you will still have a counselor. Do we know that counselor? Do we know that Holy Spirit? Are we grateful for that Holy Spirit? Do we ignore that Holy Spirit? This word says, don't grieve him. Now, when I was looking at that, if I can remember, it's like to afflict it, to have sorrow or pain. So, and one commentator that I was looking at said it wasn't necessarily that it could per se make it necessarily sad, but what it was like is that it would displease the spirit because the spirit has a mind, and that the conduct of our life would be so outside of the will of God is that it would be a displeasure, a distaste, disdain to that spirit. And God is not given the spirit so that we can just live any kind of way. No. Well, I've heard all this before. Well, maybe this message is not for you. Well, what I do know is that the scripture is replete about reminding, reminding, and repetition. What I want to know, and you don't have to tell me, is do we have a, the world says a relationship with Jesus. Do we have a relationship with this Holy Spirit? You see, we have relationships with either wives, children, and so a relationship where you would not want to hurt another person because of what they've done for you. It's better than that right here. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, it says where you're sealed until the day of redemption, and there are some who will teach this that you can't lose the Holy Spirit. I disagree with that. When I was looking this up, it was like in this seal as like a king's signet ring, where when they would send either a parchment or like a, maybe a scroll or something, if they had written it on something of that magnitude, where they would put it in some kind of maybe wax or something, and then they would seal it and it was closed. But there was another definition in that it was like an imprint, and it was confirming that you were who you say you were. When God gave us his Holy Spirit, he said that you are my child. Right now, you have my Holy Spirit. But what did it say in John? It said that those that don't bring forth fruit, he casts them away and they will be burned. So we ought to understand that there are falsities or false or lies out there. If they're false lies, they're truth. But there are lies out there where people say you cannot lose the Holy Spirit. Well, just keep walking in wickedness and see what happens. David had to repent of his sin. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He said, well, that's the Old Testament. I'm telling you, you need to go back and read Ezekiel. You need to go and look at Jeremiah. You need to see what the Bible says about the Spirit. He shows us in the Old Testament what we were going to hopefully understand better in the New Testament. Telling me that God's the same yesterday, today, forever, and he didn't have a spirit? Lord have mercy. The Bible talked about the Spirit. Yes. We can't live any kind of way that we want to. That Holy Spirit is to be inside of us to help us. But it says, this is like a port of, this is like a guarantee. This is sort of like a token, not a token. That's not the best word. But in part, what you're gonna have when you get in the presence of God is so much more. Corinthians talks about that. We'll be known as we're known. Yes, this Holy Spirit, better than a friend, better than a friend. That God left this Holy Spirit to be such a wonderful aid of assistance to us, such empowerment for you and I today. Now, in this crazy world in which we live, where the economy is bad, where there are problems sometimes with different family members, where we might be losing a job, where we might have some kind of ailment, where Satan might be trying to buffet us, does this Holy Spirit have any preeminence in our life? Do we covet a relationship with him? Do we want him to tell us what to do? Do we even want to be in his presence? Lord, have mercy. He speaks the things of Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to get ready to close out here, and I just want to look at a portion of the 23rd Psalm. You say, how in the world does that make sense? Well, David was a king, and I think most of us know that, and he spoke about a shepherd. And I don't remember reading anything where David really saw Jesus physically. I don't remember reading of that. David speaks of death in this psalm, and it's like he had a comfort. He had something. David understanding the Spirit of God, speaking of death, but like a life after death. What was it that David had? Do we have this something that it seems that David had in the sense of how God wanted it to be manifested even after his time? Do we have it? So I'm sure probably some of you can quote it. So if you don't mind, I do just want to read part of this. I say, what is the connection? David had a true relationship with God. Lord have mercy. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm not going to explain totally all of this. He provides what I need and that I don't have lack. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Who was this leading? The king. There was nobody there that was really had authority over the king. Now, he was influenced by people, but he leadeth me. Are we led by the Holy Spirit today? He leadeth me beside the green pastures in the word of God so that when there is turmoil all around, there is peace for me because there's the peace that Jesus lived, not the peace that this crazy world gives that lasts just for a few minutes. He restores
restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, his authority, his glory. When you and I maybe want to walk outside the will of God, does the comforter come and remind us anything? Does it teach us anything when we're still looking in the word of God and say, let me peel off something that you haven't seen before. Let me share this with you. Do we have a joy because of the Holy Spirit? Do we appreciate what God has done for us by giving us his Holy Spirit? Jesus Christ is coming back. He may not be walking the earth physically right now, but he wants to be inside you and my body, giving our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. But we have joy even though there's craziness in this world. Mm-hmm. He restores my soul, leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though trials and tribulations come, I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to have a faint heart. You might feel it for a while, but that Holy Spirit comes in and he lifts us up for the name of Jesus Christ. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. You're my paraclete. You're my counselor. You're my friend. You're my master. You are the Holy Spirit, and I want to obey you. I need to be in your presence. Because without your presence, I'll die. I will surely die. Your rod and your staff, they correct me. They correct me. They correct me. That shepherd would hit that sheep upside the head sometime if they got out of the way. When that sheep would get ready to walk off the side of the cliff, he'd pull that, I forgot what you call it, I'm thinking rook. That might be a game, a chess game. Anyway, he would pull that thing with the hook. He'd grab him by the neck and pull him back. Use that thing for so many things. It was for correction. It was for instruction. It was for guidance. Is that what the Holy Spirit does for you and I today? Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. When I am in the presence of people who don't love you, Lord, your Holy Spirit will keep me stable. Yes, it will. You and I ought to appreciate this Holy Spirit. You and I ought to sit down with this Holy Spirit. You and I ought to hear this Holy Spirit. We ought to think of him as friend. We ought to think of him as master. We ought to think of him as God, the Holy Spirit. Lord, have mercy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. There's a joy that I have, though there's so many different things that come in my life. I know where my hope is. Jesus Christ, the hope of glory inside. Though many speak against me, I'm not going to be moved. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed, and I know that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. I might be quoting it wrong. Against that day. That's what we need to be. The Holy Spirit's going to help us do that if we hold on. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, I call you friend. Jesus had a relationship with him. He said, I'm going to send a comforter. You to have a relationship with him. Don't just say it. Don't just say it. That's all you can do. Just shut your mouth. Don't say it if it's not true. Don't say it if it's not true. He's going to prove you. He's going to prove me. Lord have mercy. Surely. Surely because God is righteous. Surely because his word is true. Surely because I hold on to this thing. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, you and I can't dwell in the house of the Lord unless he dwells inside of us. Jesus said, I and my Father will come, and we'll make our abode with you. And, of course, the Holy Spirit, he said, the Holy Spirit will be inside of you always. He will abide with you always, but he won't force himself on us. If we let him go, he will go. He wants a life of consistency. He wants to prove us and prune us. Again, I don't say perfection is being complete in him and a continual giving over, a continual learning. Lord, have mercy. I don't know if I explained this like I didn't explain it like I wanted to, but I'm hoping it made us to think. I'm hoping that we can think of this Holy Spirit, because there's so many other verses. You can't even lie to the Holy Spirit. There's so many verses. There's so many verses that says, like, wow, where can I start in the short amount of time? There we have. This world is full of sin and turmoil and many gainsayers. And you and I know that it's changing. There is something where Satan seems to be just, it almost like it's propelling this evilness at a different pace than it was before. And the stage has been set, but it
looks like it's like now the curtains are slowly opening. The light is going from dim to just a little bit brighter, just a little bit brighter. What are you and I going to do if we don't have this Holy Spirit? What are you and I going to do? The Bible says that the very elect, they will basically apostatize if it weren't for God, shorten the days. Don't know where we're going to fall in God's economy of time, but we better be ready. We need this Holy Spirit. We should be intimate with the person of the Holy Spirit. Let's not neglect his prompting. Let's not neglect his prompting. Jesus performed miracles, taught parables, rebuked, helped them grow, and encouraged them. Well, the Holy Spirit rebukes, helps us grow, and encourages, and it shows us to the, it points us to Jesus, and Jesus points us to God. Let's be appreciative of what God has done. Let's show our allegiance to God. Let's obey the Holy Spirit. Let's continue to grow in his will and in his way. Father in heaven, I ask that you forgive us for not being appreciative as we should. Maybe I should just pray that for me. But I thank you for your teaching me. I thank you for your helping me to continue to grow. I ask that you help us in this crazy world to not let go of you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. I want to know him. I want to know you, your son. Give us the strength that we need. Help us to have our hearts inclined to your righteousness and obedience, not just rhetoric, not just rhetoric. I ask that you give us strength. I ask that if you wake us up another day, that you be with us. Help us through all types of situations, good, bad, unpleasant. Help us to really show that we have this seal in our hearts. Thank you for him. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your word. I ask these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. We're now open for discussion, any thoughts, insights, questions, and so we're open up for discussion.